My name's Adam. I'm the assistant pastor here, and it's really good to have you. And we're going to do a two-part series in the letter of Philemon, or Philemon, however you wish to pronounce it. It doesn't matter to me. And we've got, there's two big themes, I think, within the book of Philemon, which are gospel transformation and gospel reconciliation. And this week we're going to be looking at the letter, looking at the focus being on Omniscience. And therefore, we're mainly going to be thinking about transformation this morning. And then next week, we're going to be looking at Philemon, and therefore reconciliation. So as we have the passage read in a moment, I want you to listen out to all the different things that we read about Onesimus. Just listen out, see what you can hear about him, and make a kind of verbal note of those. So, David.
Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church of your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. His father I became in my own imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Thank you very much, David. Let me pray as we begin part one of Philemon. Father, we ask that you would indeed speak to us and that we would be listening to your word. And we pray that you would transform us by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, some of us from Redeemer hit the streets about once a month to engage people in the good news of Jesus. And one lady I spoke to recently, she knew that Jesus was a Lord and was a Saviour, but she felt she was too bad to accept him as her Lord and her Saviour. It was as though she felt once she had accepted Christ, she wouldn't be of any use to Christ or to his church. But within the church, and even within Redeemer, I know that some of you are letting your past hold you back from serving. People have said to Will and myself, if you knew what I'd done, you wouldn't have me serving at your church. And some of you were respectable sinners before you were a Christian. But others of you have spent time inside, or you should have spent time inside if people knew what you've been up to. And having that over you, it can sometimes feel, it can make you feel like you're useless, that you can't be of any use. How can someone with a criminal record be of use in the service of God? And some of you have a less kind of checkered history, have often, or at least from time to time, looked back at your lives and seen how lazy we can be, how slow to respect authority, how selfish many of our decisions have been. And we feel kind of useless. We wonder if we are any use in the service of God. How can someone who is so imperfect be of use in the service of God? And today I want to take us through the journey of Onesimus. Sorry if I keep pronouncing it wrong, you'll just have to deal with it. And I'm going to do it in order to show us the power of the gospel to transform the low and the useless into sons and daughters of God that are useful. And Paul has written this letter to an individual called Philemon. He's a wealthy businessman who turned his house into a church. And this is the only letter, the only example we have of Paul writing to an individual. But if you notice in verse 2, this is an open letter designed to be read, to be seen, to be heard, and to be applied to all. And in God's sovereignty, that means us this morning. And in it, he urges Philemon to receive and love Onesimus, a former worker of Philemon who has stolen money and run away. And we will focus a bit more on that next week. But as I said, I want us to take us through Onesimus' journey and show us the amazing, incredible, transforming power of the gospel. And that brings us to our first point, which is on your handout. Onesimus, the low and useless servant. Low and useless slave, even. He was a first century slave. Even that was wicked. It was very different to what we think of when we hear slave. So he wouldn't have been kidnapped or held against his will. He wasn't a slave due to his skin colour. But rather, he probably put himself into slavery, which is very common in the first century. Up to about 2/3 of the Roman world would have been slaves at one point. Some of those were spoils of war, but most likely here, Onesimus, with thousands of others, got himself into serious debt or just had no money. He was completely broke. So slavery was a last resort, but for many it was a lifeline. In many ways it was a necessity and evil. The options were sell yourself into slavery or die of hunger. And slavery would have been hard. When you were bought, you gave your whole body to your owner, and they could beat you, they could hurt you, they could do whatever they wanted. But from what this story I've read, I heard that wasn't always the case. Some owners were pretty kind. And slavery was rarely lifelong, so the Jews would have normally kept the slave for about 7 years. The Romans had like an unofficial rule of about 30. They would release their slaves. The slaves that were useful and proved themselves were allowed to marry or to set up their own business for when they were released. That's all I want to say about slavery in the Bible. It was hard, but it's very different to what we think of when we hear slavery. But we're going to think a little bit more about that next week. But back to Onesimus. He was a first century slave to an owner called Philemon. Assuming Philemon had become a Christian while owning him, and not after, Onesimus would have been treated well. Look at verse 5. Philemon was famous for his acts of love. But Onesimus sounds like a complete pain. You wouldn't want to employ him. Verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you. He was lazy. He did a slapdash job. I don't know if you've ever had an appraisal. Imagine walking in and your boss sits you down and says, "You're useless. You're utterly rubbish." That would make you feel pretty horrific. And for that to happen is pretty extreme. But that is the verdict of Paul on Onesimus. And if Paul realized that, imagine what Philemon must have thought. And worse than that, verse 18, he had stolen from Philemon. It says from the if, but from all I've read, he did. He stole money or property, we don't know what, from him. And in verse 12, he ran away. And in that world, what Onesimus did would have meant death for sure. And no wonder he ran hundreds of miles to get to Rome. And stealing and running away from a kind of a wicked slave master, we can kind of think, okay, I understand that. But running away from a loving owner, it's like stealing from your mum. And this guy's is pretty low. And so Onesimus was broke, he was lazy, he was stealing, he was a lawbreaker, he was selfish, he was a criminal. He was low and useless. And I can imagine, to bigger or smaller degrees, we can relate to that. We may not be anywhere near as bad as Onesimus, we may be worse. But we can relate to poor work ethics, can't we? We can relate to selfish decisions. And it's true, before anyone accepts Christ in their life, God sees all of our selfishness, all of our stealing, all of our lying, all of our mess. There's no way we could be useful before Him. And we too, in our own way, we do a runner from God, and we are low and useless before Him. So now I want to show you the amazing transforming power of Christ. And this is really going to make us wonder at the love and grace of God. You can see the second point on the handout. Onesimus, a free child of God. A free child of God. So this runaway slave, he runs and he makes it to Rome. And either through spending time behind bars or hearing about Paul, somehow their paths cross. And in verse 10, while Paul is in prison, he explains the gospel to him. And Onesimus repents and he becomes a Christian and his life is completely transformed. As a child, I remember being blown away when I found out that butterflies came from caterpillars. Okay, so caterpillars are like, they crawl, they don't fly, they're pretty ugly. Butterflies fly, they're pretty beautiful. I had no idea. It blew me away. And we're going to see a transformation here, even more amazing than that. And in this section, I want to focus on the fact that his status has been completely changed as God welcomed him into his family. And we're going to see Onesimus as a crawling, ugly caterpillar transformed before our eyes as we read the words into a beautiful, free butterfly, so to speak. Verse 10, what does it say? It says, "I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in imprisonment." My child. Through Paul's ministry, Onesimus becomes a Christian. And such is the strength of the relationship of Paul and this unlikely recent convert, he calls him my child. And Paul sees this guy as one of his closest and dearest Christian friends, brothers, in fact. He doesn't call everyone his child, but he reserves that title for a few. And so we take heart, don't we? If the gospel can transform a low and useless slave like Onesimus into someone Paul can love this much, how much more can we be assured of the Lord's love for us? But there's more. Look at verse 16. And this is such a key verse, full of work. It ties so many of the themes together. So actually, I'll start reading from verse 15. For this is why he parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so there's so much gold actually in that sentence. We'll come back to it next week as well. But did you hear how Paul describes Onesimus? No longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother. A beloved brother, especially to me. And this is incredible, right? Because verse 1, Paul calls Philemon a beloved, and in verse 20, he calls Philemon a brother. And now he says that this low and useless slave is a beloved brother. He is part of the family of God. He's no longer runaway, but family. He's no longer distant, but a brother. And then end of verse 16, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And we see here a complete inclusion as a free son of God. And he is a son of God, and therefore the Lord Jesus himself calls him a brother. That's at Hebrews 2 if you want to have a look. And that's the most incredible, mind-blowing truth. And therefore Paul can say, he's family. He's part of my family. In the flesh and in the Lord. The Christians, we shouldn't just see each other as kind of spiritual brothers and sisters. We can kind of distance ourselves from. But real, close-knit, heartfelt family. That is what we are to each other. You can imagine a poor orphan growing up in the streets of Croydon, perhaps, and taken in by the royals, William and Kate. And they bring him to Buckingham Palace. And they say, this is your family. You don't need to stand attention when the Queen walks in. She's your grandma. We're your parents. The future King and the future Queen, they are your brother and sister. They are family. And we won't treat you any different. You are family. And that, I guess, would never happen. But for those of us in Christ, that is a poor picture, a tiny picture of the amazing transformation of our status that has happened to us. And if you feel the strength of your past as it imposes itself onto your presence, I want you to know this, that you, like Onesimus, have been brought into God's family by the death of God's beloved Son. The death of Jesus takes the low and the useless, those we would never expect to be used or useful for God. He takes you and he takes me and he transforms us into free sons of God. And once you accept God as your Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no difference in the eyes of God between you and any other Christian. The ex-criminal and the respectable businessman who's made his house into a church. In Christ, there's no difference. Are you and the Apostle Paul in Christ? There is no difference. We are all God's beloved children. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? We're all God's beloved children. And if you struggle to feel the weight of this, if you struggle to really believe this, then turn to verse 16 and say to yourself, I am no longer a slave, but a beloved brother. A beloved brother. That is who we are in Christ to each other. And if you won't come to God because you feel that at best you're going to be second rate, that you've got nothing to offer. Know that God will see us as his precious son or his precious daughter, and we will see you as a beloved brother or a beloved sister. And this letter starts with grace, and in verse 3, and ends in grace in verse 25, and is filled with grace the whole way through. And such is the Christian life, a beautiful gift from God, an undeserved gift that brings us into his family as equals. So if that's you, I would say go on, accept Christ, and welcome to the family. And I love the gospel. What incredible power it has to transform, to change our status, to make us from useless caterpillars to beautiful butterflies. But there's more. There's more. That's our third point. Initius, a useful worker for Christ. A useful worker of Christ. Diet programs and workout routines will often kind of suck you in by showing you a before and after picture. So the before, you might get a skinny guy with a bit of a pot belly, and then afterwards there'll be a picture of me. Never sign up. Like, if there's a picture of me, it's the after. Never sign up for that, okay? But the transformation of the gospel is so much more exciting than a beach body. Let me show you why. Let me show you how. The letter bookends with grace, as we've already seen. But it also bookends with Paul's fellow workers in the gospel. So verse 1, it's Philemon. And in verse 24, there's a list of different names. He calls them his fellow workers. And right in the middle, right at the heart of this letter, is Paul's amazing reference about Onesimus. This is no longer a damning appraisal. This is a beautiful, glorious reference. This low and useless servant is now anything but. He is, verse 11, what does it say? Verse 11, he is useful. He is now, as a son of God, he is fully equipped to be fully useful as a servant of Christ. He can strive side to side with Paul in the mission of making disciples of all nations, of Christ's mission. And it's worth saying, Paul sends him back once he has been proven. But unlike a gym or a diet program, the gospel transformation is instant. As soon as that was a rubbish click, wasn't it? No, that was even worse. There we go. As soon as we become a Christian, we are useful. And therefore, we should make use of that. As soon as you become a Christian, you are useful for Christ's service. And therefore, make use of it. Serve. And verse 11 to 13 show that once Onesimus had become a Christian, he looked up, and what did he see? He saw Paul there, in chains, in a prison, he's needing help. So he just cracks on and serves him. Exactly what he did, I don't know. But I don't need to know, because Paul is clear that he's doing an incredible job. And that's why in verse 12, Paul says, I'm sending my own heart. Imagine how he felt that night when he grasped at his freedom. When he stole the money on the side, and he's got his sack of swag, and he runs out of the door in night, and he runs away, and now he's heading back as family. He's coming back as a useful worker, ready to serve whatever Philemon says to him. Paul knows Philemon might say, right, where were you before you ran away? Right, wash up, make the dinner, clean the house, do this, do that, make the beds. He could have said that. And Onesimus is ready to serve the Lord in seemingly small and demeaning ways. But I bet he would have been the hardest and most thankful worker Philemon has ever had. Well, I think the implications is that owners could be out every day sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus with people in the town. He might be leading a Bible study. He might be doing a little bit of preaching. And either way, Amos is now a worker of Christ, fully useful. And that's awesome, because that's our story too. And after all, Jesus said, the greatest is servant of all. If you want to be great in the kingdom, serve. And that's what Christ did. The Son of Man came to serve. And he did that on the cross. And such is the transformation, the transforming power of the gospel. Paul knows that Amos will be useful even to the man he stole from, even to the man he was lazy, even from the man he ran away from. Useful. And if the gospel can make Amos useful to the Apostle Paul, useful to the man who completely done over, useful to Christ, then each one of you who have called God your Father through Jesus is a useful worker for Christ and able to be of great service, whether seemingly in small or in big ways. And this is incredibly counter to how we think. So during half term, I passed my driving test, which means I'm now fully qualified to drive on any roads in the UK. Any roads. But I don't often feel equipped or qualified. I say I can't go on that road. I didn't do that one in my lesson. Or I didn't drive in heavy rain when I practiced, or it didn't go too well. But no, I am fully qualified driver. Car insurance, tax, the rest. But mentally, there are roads that I don't want to go down, situations we think we're not qualified for. And our service can be like that in a small kind of way. But brothers and sisters, you have been completely transformed by God into a child of God and a worker of Christ. You are fully qualified. You are fully equipped. You are fully able. You are useful. You are useful. And of course, if you struggle to walk or to read or to whatever, there are things you can't do. But you are a useful worker of Christ, because he gives us things to get on with, preordained works to do. And if Will or myself or anyone else for that matter in Redeemer and ask you to serve, ask you to join a team, ask you to give your testimony, ask you to lead, and whatever it is, if you're tempted to look back at your past and say, I'm not useful, I'm really, really sorry, but I'm no good to you, I'm not useful to you, can I ask you to remember Amos and read verse 11, but read yourself into it. Look down, look at verse 11 with me. I'm going to read myself into verse 11. This is what I'd say, will I? Think I can't serve when I'm no good. Formerly, Adam was useless to you, but now Adam is indeed useful to you and to me. I don't know what holds you back from street conversations, from Redeemer kids, from Redeemer socks, from washing up, from leading, to making food on our meal rota. For people who have just given birth. I don't know what holds you back. But if it's your past, if it's a feeling that you are useless, God, through Jesus' work on the cross, has changed your status and has transformed you into a useful worker. And it's worth noting, it is an instant change from useless to useful. But what's even more amazing is we can actually grow in that as well. So did you notice the prayer Paul prayed prayed for Philemon back in the early verses. He thanks him for his love, for his usefulness, and prays he will do it more. Paul knows that Onesimus will be useful more and more to him, but he sends him back to be more and more useful to Philemon. We are instantly useful, and we work on it, we grow, we do more works, which is incredible. What a powerful transformation. How wonderful the gospel is. Indeed, he is no longer an ugly caterpillar, but a beautiful butterfly. And we have seen how the gospel takes us far off and brings us into God's family. How the gospel takes those who are useless before God and makes us useful workers for Christ. The distance are brought into family. The useless are made useful. And this isn't going up and up in the world. This isn't about bettering yourselves. This is about serving Christ. You are a useful worker for Christ in whatever way, even if that means things get harder for you. You are a useful worker for Christ. And no self-help, no other religion can offer this, can it? I couldn't think of a single one that could do this amazing transformation. But praise be to God, who sent his Son to redeem us and sent his Spirit into our hearts to make us family, into our hearts to make us fully equipped to be useful. And that's who we are in Christ. Wouldn't you spend a couple of moments in quiet just praying in how the Lord has spoken to you, and it might lead us in a prayer of praise. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. Father, we praise you for your amazing, transforming gospel that takes people like us, that takes the low and the useless before you, and transforms us to make us useful for your gospel. And we know some of us here are highly important in the world's eyes. We are highly useful in the world's eyes. And yet remind us, without Christ we are not important, not useless, not useful before you, but through Christ we are transformed into sons and daughters, and therefore useful workers. And others of us, fathers, we know our plight without Christ before you transformed us. We know that we were low. We know that we were useless. And yet, you have transformed us by your amazing gospel. And so we give you the praise. We give you the thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.